All right, I want to welcome all of you folks to this open coaching call, the open publicity coaching call. I wanted to open this to everyone, to anyone who would like to be on this call, because I have been hearing and reading such bad information out there about getting publicity, how to write a press release, how to do an interview, and it is just growing exponentially. So I wanted to have this call to answer your questions, to see if you have heard or read some information about getting publicity, to see if it's the correct information. And if it is correct, I'll tell you that is the correct information, or to correct the information that you may believe is true. One of the reasons people don't get publicity or they don't try to get publicity is that they have been given the wrong information. They have been given dreadful information about how to write a press release, how to do these interviews, how to contact the reporters, how to follow up on your interviews, and everything else. I want to cover as much of that as I can. If you're a subscriber to my paid newsletter, or if you have my full publicity kit, some of the answers to these questions will be pretty familiar to you. And that's good news, because it's proof to you that you really understand my publicity system. So this will be a little brush up for you folks who do have my publicity kit or get my monthly paid newsletter. When you hear the question, you may try to answer it to yourself right away and see if we come up with the same answer. And if we do, congratulations. You really got the idea and you're understanding it. I have received a few questions. There are several questions that ask me how to do it all. These were just enormous questions, such as, can you tell me how to write a press release, how to get it into the hands of the reporters, to do the interviews, and then to make sales? Well, that's really not a question that I'll be able to tackle on this call. That's kind of like saying, can you give me all the information I need to fly a plane? What I was looking for in the questions, and the questions that I will be answering, are the really direct, the real focused questions, and you'll see what I mean very soon. So I'm going to be answering as many of these as possible. And one last time, if you need a clarification of an answer that I gave you, you can email me at paul@hartunian.com, or if there's a problem with hearing me or the call or something else, email me at paul@hartunian.com. Can't promise I'm going to answer any more email questions, because we really do have a very full list. And let me just check my control panel. Boy, if we don't have all 200 lines filled right now, we're getting darn close. All right, let's get to these questions. And in fact, the first question I got, very coincidentally, was a good tie-in. I started out by saying, if you're a subscriber to my paid newsletter or if you have my publicity kit, some of these questions may be familiar, and the answers certainly are going to be familiar to you. And the question that I got from someone is, why don't you open all of your coaching calls to everyone instead of having calls just for your newsletter subscribers? And that's a very good question. There are two answers. The obvious answer is, well, the paid subscribers paid for the service, which includes coaching calls. It includes not only a newsletter, but the coaching calls. But the second part of the answer is equally, if not more important. The people who are on the monthly, I'll call them closed coaching calls for my paid subscribers, they've learned my system. We're at a certain level together because I have these once a month. And if we open it up to everyone, we will have a bunch of people coming in who don't know the system and who will say, well, can you start from the beginning? And if I gave you an analogy, it would be like you wanted to learn French, so you go to an advanced French class, and they're speaking French at a pretty conversational level, and you say, well, can you translate all of that into English and just start with very simple words? That's not an appropriate class to be in. So that's why I do not open my monthly calls to anyone but my paid subscribers. And the discussions we have are at a higher level simply because they've learned the system. They're sending out press releases. They're getting results. So we've got a whole different thing there. But I thought it would be a good idea to open up this call to everyone. Next question. Why should I use online press releases, and why should I use offline press releases? Again, for you folks who get my newsletter, you know that that has been a common thread in our discussions, and I'll talk about that right now. And it's a very good question. And this, by the way, I mentioned something about this on my blog. And I think the headline of the article that I wrote on the blog was How to Spot a Bogus Publicity Expert. And if you didn't read that, you should read it. Go to paulspublicityblog.com. It's free. And read the article I wrote about how to spot a bogus publicity expert. As I mentioned earlier in this call, over the last 2 or 3 months or so, it seems to me that so-called publicity experts are popping up like the crocus in the spring. They're just all over the place, and people are just calling themselves publicity experts. People are trusting this information, and they're not getting publicity. They get frustrated, so they give up on publicity, which frustrates me because I can't think of a more powerful skill that I can teach anyone than learning how to use the media to promote anything that you want. Now, in my e-zine, in my newsletter, in my blog, I focus on using publicity to start or to grow your business, to get more customers, to get more sales, more dollars in your bank account. But you can use publicity for anything in your business or your private life. For example, let's say that you go to a church and your church is having a garage sale and you want to promote your church's garage sale or a bake sale. You would use the same rules to get a lot more people going to your church's garage sale or bake sale. In my dog rescue work for AuntMary'sDoghouse.com, we have used publicity and do use publicity to great results. We just get tremendous results adopting dogs out, getting people interested in what we're doing, getting donations, whatever we need. The media people are very happy to help us out. So, online versus offline press releases. You use online press releases, and by that I mean using internet distribution. You use online press releases to get search engine rankings, to get backlinks, people linking to your website, to get people picking up your information in their blogs, for example, to increase the traffic to your website. These are all reasons to use online press release distribution. Notice I said online press release distribution. I did not say this is why you should be emailing your press releases. I have never bulk emailed press releases ever in my life, and I can say I can't imagine that I ever will be bulk emailing an unsolicited press release. That means taking the email addresses of 100 or 500 or 1,000 reporters, putting them into my email software, and sending them all my press release when they didn't ask for it. That's just such a dangerous thing to do. Number one, you can get your internet server shut down. Number two, and this is far more critical, you may not be aware of it, but the reporters have their own discussion boards, their own chat groups and everything else where they talk about people who are good interviews, people who are not good interviews. If you start spamming them by emailing them your press release yourself, you're going to get onto their blacklist. They're going to talk about you and they're not going to follow up. You're going to be blacklisted by the reporters, which you don't want. When I send online press releases, I always use a distribution service. There are paid distribution services and free distribution services, and I'll get to that in a little while because I see that there is a question about that too. So that's online press releases. The online press releases, again, just quickly, it gets you search engine rankings, it gets you traffic to your website, people picking up your story on their blogs or their e-zines, backlinks, people linking to your website. These all improve your ranking and your Google page rank, for example. Offline press releases, for example, if you mail them, you drop them into the mail, or you fax them, why would you use offline press releases? Offline press releases get you interviews with reporters. Now, can an online press release get you an interview with a reporter? It can happen, but that's not what you expect. That's not why you're doing that. You're doing it for the other reasons that I gave you. So some of you may be saying, but I sent out an online press release and a reporter called me. Yeah, okay, a reporter called you. But when I send an offline press release, 170 reporters may call me, for example. When I would be doing my Valentine's Day media blitz for my books on dating and relationships, I would send out about 1,000 press releases, and I would target them. I didn't just randomly send them out. So I would send out about 1,000 press releases, and I generally got about 170 interviews from that. These are all very rough numbers. Will you get that if you sent out an online press release? Will you get 170 reporters? I guess anything is possible, but I can't imagine that because that's not what online press releases are for. Right now, a year from now, 2, 3, 4 years from now, I may have a different story, but I'm talking about what it's like right now. So offline press releases get you interviews with newspaper reporters, radio talk shows, TV, magazines. That's where you're able to talk about the topic that you have to talk about, and the reporter will do some kind of plug for you, whatever you want to plug, your free seminar, your book, your website, a product. So that's the way that deal works. Okay, let's get to the next question. This question is about marketing B2B, business to business. How would you create a press release to feature a marketing newsletter for businesses to send to their clients and customers? B2B, business to business. Now, again, you folks who have my publicity kit or who are subscribers to my paid newsletter, right now, to yourself, answer that question, and you may have the answer to this already because I am such a strong advocate of what I'm going to tell you right now. I am such a strong advocate of the idea that there is no such thing as B2B, business to business. It is always 100% of the time B2C, business to customer. Even if your customer is another business, they are a customer. So you don't do anything different. When you're writing your press release, you do nothing different. A customer is a customer. You may be selling medical equipment to physicians, another business, but they're your customer. You're going to be doing the same thing. You're going to be sending out press releases about your topic, about your story, focusing on the end user who is your customer. It is completely irrelevant that they happen to be a business as well. This is where a lot of people get stuck. This is a common question that I get over the months and years. We've discussed this in my coaching calls, but if you start focusing on that other business, and you think now you need two press releases. You need a press release for your business customers and one for your consumer customers. You're going to get screwed up. Keep it very simple. I like keeping things as simple as I can. B2B, I don't feel it exists. Some people may differ. I've never heard an argument that convinced me that there is any such thing as B2B. Next question. Can you give us some tips on what to do and what not to do when we want to get publicity? Great question. Hang on just a second. I probably heard I just moved a little file there that I shouldn't have moved. There we go. Okay, when you are trying to get publicity, and I always say the word trying, just like when you advertise, you're trying to get customers. There are some enormous mistakes that people make. My bet is that everyone listening here is making at least one of these mistakes, if not many of the mistakes, and some of you may be making all of these mistakes. I'm going to briefly go over these mistakes and tell you what the truth is. Here again is where I've heard so much bad information. So much bad information from people who feel that they are an expert and they're passing on this information to you. You do what they say and you wind up getting no publicity, so you wind up getting very, very frustrated. One of the huge mistakes that people make is that they feel that they have read, they think, they have been told that in your press release you should be promoting your product. That is the purpose of the press release. You should make sure you get a plug for your product right in the press release. That is dead wrong, and that's probably the number one reason that press releases are thrown out, because in the press release itself, a person will start to promote his or her product. I'm going to tell you, I don't care what the other people say. I don't care what you've read in $20 books on getting publicity. If you do a hard sell, even if you do a soft sell for your product in your press release is going to get trashed because that is screaming to the reporter that you don't know what you're doing. You should know and make sure, write this down, The purpose of a press release is very simple. There is only one purpose for every press release that is ever written. The only purpose of a press release is to get the attention of a reporter. That's all. No other purpose. It's not to sell anything. It's not to promote your seminar. It's not to do anything else. It's not to credentialize you. It's simply to get the attention of the reporter so that the reporter contacts you for more information. So never promote your product in your press release. Some of you may be saying, well, then how do I promote my products and services? Why am I sending out this press release? If you do things the right way and you give the reporter signals that you know what you're doing, the reporter will reward you by promoting your product or service for you. Now, I'm going to take a sip of tea here. Think about these two scenarios. Let's say that you sent a press release out. In fact, I'll personalize it. If I sent out a press release talking about my book on dating and relationships, and I said, boy, this is a good book because I talk about all these things, and it's been so popular. I've sold over 430,000 copies of it. It's 1995. All that is a sales pitch. How did I benefit the reporter or the talk show host or the editor or producer? The answer is I didn't. So it's in the trash. Let's say I'm doing an interview. I'm on the air, I'm on a radio talk show, and I'm doing an interview. And during the interview, I keep plugging my book. So the talk show host or a listener, somebody called into the radio show and asked me a question. And instead of directly answering the question, I say, well, on page 37 of my book, and I give the title, and I'm not going to plug my on page 37 of my book, I answer that, and I go into a lot of detail, and I don't give the answer. And I say, you can get my book by going to Amazon.com or calling my toll-free number. All I'm doing is making a sales pitch. Instead, if during the talk show, people call in to ask me questions, and you've heard this on talk shows all the time, the talk show host will say, and if you have a question for my guest, just call this number. He gives you a number, and the lines light up. If every time a person calls in, I answer the question plugging my book, and in fact, I don't even mention my book, the talk show host will be thrilled because I'm making him look really good. I'm a good guest. I'm doing a good interview. I'm giving out good information. The talk show host will then stop me, and he will do a commercial for my book. Who do you think will have sold more of my own books? Me, plugging the book all the time and saying, go to Amazon and get my book and go to call my toll-free number, or the talk show host who will say to his listeners, folks, I have a copy of Paul's book. This thing is great. I read it from cover to cover. It has so much good information. If you're single and you're alone and you don't get Paul's book, don't complain to me. Paul, where can people get your book? Who do you think sold more of my own books? Well, it's pretty obvious. So never, never, ever in your press release plug your product, put your toll-free number, put the price of the product, or anything else. Just make sure that you're giving them solid information. Next mistake, calling reporters after you send your press release. I'm going to address this in just a little while because it is a question that came up. I have never in my life called a reporter after I sent out a press release. I may have called reporters who called me and wanted to call back. I'm not talking about that. But in these $20 books, I read this all the time. They say, right after you fax out or send out your press release, call the reporter to make sure that he got it. He got it. He doesn't want to hear from you. He's very busy. In a busy newsroom, a reporter will get 300 press releases every single day. That means if you listen to this silly rule about calling the reporters, this reporter will be getting 300 phone calls a day. They don't want to hear from you. Another mistake, people think that there's a best time of the day to do interviews. And this is another one that I hear a lot. I hear people saying only do interviews during drive time. Drive time being the time that people drive to and from work. My answer to you, do interviews anytime you can get them. because you don't know who's listening. You don't know what they want. You don't know what they need. And especially when you're first starting with your interviews, you want to get as much experience as you can. You want to get experience from people who do terrible interviews. You want to get experience from people who are really good, big radio stations, little radio stations, big newspapers, little. You want to get as much experience as you can. So there is no best time of the day to do interviews. Next mistake people make, they think they don't have the skill to write a great press release. And here's one of the secrets about writing a great press release. You should be following templates that have already been tested and proven. I know that most of you do that already in different aspects of your life. For example, if you go to the gym, you don't just wander around from machine to machine, reading instructions, trying a few things. You get somebody to show you the right way to use these machines, and then you're using them very well. Well, you're not a trainer, you're not an expert in these machines, but you learn the right way to do it. Same thing with press releases. When you follow templates, and I talk about that a lot in my blogs, my e-zines, and everything else, follow the templates. Many times it comes down to just about fill in the blank. Another mistake, I never, ever want any of you to make your press page. Never, ever, ever make a press release more than one page, especially if you are sending it out by fax or by mail. The reason is that if your press release is more than one page and you're faxing it or mailing it, you are giving a really strong clue to the reporter that you don't know what you're doing. That's one of the little clues that you pass along, that you don't know what you're doing. So press releases, never, ever more than one page. Another mistake that people make is they think they need special contacts. I hear this every once in a while. People will say, but I don't know anybody in radio. I don't know producers, talk show host, editors. I don't know anybody. You don't have to know anybody. I never knew anybody. I know a lot of people in the media now because I've been doing it for 20 years. My students, people who have my kit, get to know people in the media because they do interviews, but they didn't know anybody at all in the media. A little sip of tea here. And now the biggest mistake that people make, the biggest thing I want you to avoid, is they think that the press release is about them. It is never about you. Nobody cares about you. And in fact, I'm going to mention that as an answer to a few of the questions here. Nobody cares about you. What they care about is what you can do for them. That's what they're looking for. That's what the reporters are looking for. What can you do for them? What information do you have that they can pass on to their people, their listeners, their viewers? What do you know that they can use to make themselves look good? That's your job as a person seeking publicity. Make that reporter, the talk show host, the editor, the producer, make them look good, and they will reward you by promoting your product or service for you. Okay, next question. How do I make sure that who I send my press release to will honor my story and give our firm the publicity instead of just taking and rewriting the story? This is a confusing question. I'm going to interpret it the way I want to, but the question itself goes off on a few paths. For example, it says, how do I make sure that who I send my press release to will honor my story? I'm not sure what you mean by honor my story and give our firm the publicity instead of just taking and rewriting the story. Rewriting what story? So I'm confused on the question. If a reporter calls you up, let's say it's a newspaper reporter, the newspaper reporter will be writing the story. Now, will they give you publicity? Will they promote you? There are different techniques, and I'm not being coy here. We talk about this in the other coaching calls. In my publicity kit, I go over, there's a script back and forth that you make a little deal that they will do that. Even then, there is no guarantee that the reporter will promote your product or service. Do they do it? In my experience, probably 90, 95% of the time. Yeah, 5%, they may be jerks and they did the interview and they didn't promote your story. Chalk it up to experience. But 95% of the time, they will promote your product or service. And in fact, they'll even ask you what you want to promote. In over 20 years of doing this, I have found, and I call them all reporters, by the way. They may be talk show hosts, they may be editors, they may be producers. Just to make things easy, I call them reporters. So I'll stick with that terminology right now. I have found reporters to be absolutely delightful people. They are truly wonderful people. They've got a lot of pressure on them. They have to get a job done, and then they've got to do the same job the next day. So there's lots of pressure on them to get this work done. They want to promote you. They want to help you. Again, think about the logic of this. If you give them a great interview and you give them great information that they can pass on to their audiences and you make them look good, wouldn't they want to interview you again? Sure they will, because you're a great source for them. Now, if they screwed you over and they didn't promote what you wanted them to promote, what's the likelihood that you're going to do another interview? Pretty slim. So they're motivated to promote things for you, especially if you're a very good interviewer. You're giving them good information. You're making them look good. They want to reward you. How much time before an event is reasonable to reach reporters via press releases to get media coverage? Well, it depends on what type of media you're talking about. If you're talking about radio, talk shows, and newspapers, I like to give them at least a week in advance of something, some topic that I want to cover. For example, when I was doing my Valentine's Day media blitzes, I would start my blitz 2 weeks to 10 days, 10 days to 2 weeks before Valentine's Day. I wanted to book as many interviews as I could in that time period. So I would start 2 weeks before. By 10 days before Valentine's Day, I would have all of my press releases out. And generally, a week before Valentine's Day, I would be solidly booked for the entire week. And we would have started interviews a week before Valentine's Day. The actual interviews are starting a week before Valentine's Day. Now, that said, let's say that something happened today, and I'm going to make this up. On my regular coaching calls, I do this all the time. And you'll hear me pausing and kind of stumbling here and there. And the reason I'm doing that is I'm just making up an example. And I don't have anything planned. I don't have a script in front of me. So let's say that you are a tax accountant, and today there was a story in the news that Congress is about to pass a law that is restricting deposits to retirement accounts. I know nothing about tax accounting or retirement accounts, so I don't even know what I'm talking about. So this is just an example. And you're listening to the news, and you hear that today Congress is debating this law, and they're going to vote on it, and by tomorrow there will be restrictions on deposits to retirement accounts. Well, get that press release out right now. You don't need any advance time. This is a story that's hitting right now. If you have the leisure of some time available, a week is a real nice time. If you're talking about magazines, you need 3 months in advance, because a magazine always plans at least 3 months in advance. TV usually needs a little bit more time than radio or newspapers. Radio and newspapers can be up and running very quickly. TV, excuse me, they can do that as well. They can be up and running with a story very quickly, but they like just a little more leeway. So the general answer to your question is a week, but if a story is hitting right now, and I have done this so many times, a story hit right now, within a half an hour, my press release was being distributed all over the country, and within minutes after that, I was doing interviews. All right, next. Is it always preferable to use a service to distribute a press release, or should I build my own list? Very good question, and I'm going to answer this in several ways. First, what kind of distribution are we talking about? Are we talking about online distribution? If we're talking about online distribution, absolutely, 100% of the time, use a distribution service. Should you use a paid service or a free service? I think I've got a specific question about that coming up. If not, I'll address that in the end. But very briefly, with free services, you get what you pay for. It's free. Are you going to get better response with a paid service? Generally, you do. I test out my press releases on free services. These are online distribution again. I test online to make sure that it's working, and then I go to paid services. I would never, ever rely on free services exclusively for any of my stories. I want to make sure I get lots of traffic to my websites. So, online distribution services. Offline, if you're going to fax or mail. by all means, you should be building your own list, but should you use a distribution service or do it yourself? When I'm doing press releases for AuntMary'sDoghouse.com, our dog rescue right here, I do the faxing myself. I do it right from my computer or from my fax machine because it's a fairly small list. I don't even think we have 50 media people on that list. If you have a fax machine, whether it's a computer fax software or a regular fax machine, your software or your fax machine has something called broadcast capability. Every single fax machine and software has it if it was made any time in the last 10 years. That means just once you load up the fax numbers of the people that you want to fax and you put it in what's called a phone book. If this sounds complicated, it's not. Just read the manual. You'll see it's very easy to do. So I put it in a phone book. When I want to send out a press release about our dog rescue organization, all I do is press a couple of buttons. I use my fax machine for that one because that's where the phone book is stored. I just press a button that brings up my dog rescue media contact phone book, and then I press another button that says fax to everybody in this phone book. And then I walk away. They go out one at a time, so if I have 50 press releases going out, it will take me about 50 minutes. Same thing with software. If I was using fax software, I would do the same thing. I would say, take this press release and fax it to this phone book. And this is the phone book I have for dog rescue. I may have another phone book, media contacts, for my dating and relationships. I may have another phone book for my Brooklyn Bridge project. In my e-zine, I've mentioned that I'm going to be releasing a 25th anniversary signed limited edition of my Brooklyn Bridge certificate. I have special press releases written for that that are both going online and offline distribution. I am going to be covering the entire country and, in fact, covering the world with this press release. There are only going to be 2,500 of them, so I want to get a big rush to the website so that they sell very quickly. So I'm going to be sending them out pretty much all on the same day. Online, again, remember I'm going to be getting traffic directly to the website. I'm going to be getting search engine rankings. I'm going to be getting pickups from blogs. And the offline will be getting interviews about how this is now 25 years after I sold the Brooklyn Bridge and what's happened in that last 25 years. What I will want the reporters to plug, obviously, is the website that I have set up for the 25th anniversary. And by the way, if you folks want to jump on that, if you want to see what that web page looks like for the 25th anniversary, just go to ibottthebrooklynbridge.com, and you will see where I'm driving traffic to. I'm going to even offline, when I do the offline interviews, when I do the live interviews on radio, TV, newspapers, whatever else, I am going to be promoting ibottthebrooklynbridge.com. So everybody will be driven to the website. I'd like a big rush to the website and selling out the certificates, obviously, very quickly. So I hope that answered that question. Next question, how often is helpful for sending press releases out? Is it more than a few times a week? Is more than a few times a week too much to the same media outlets? What's the best way to – oh, that's the first question. So how often do you send out your press releases? I teach my students that I would love to see them send out a press release a week, one press release per week, at the very least one every other week. Now, the great thing is if you just put together eight press releases, that may sound like a lot to you, but again, for you folks that have my publicity kit, you'll see in eight press releases you can probably do in an hour or two. You can then rotate those press releases. So if you do one press release a week and you have eight press releases, that covers you for 2 months. On the ninth week, you just rotate number one in again. It's been 2 months. The media people will not remember what press release number one is about. So you can rotate them right around. I have contacted the media people once an hour when I had a hot story. For example, this was a number of years ago. The Masters Golf Tournament was going on, and I don't remember what year it was, but there was some huge thing that happened where the favorite was way back and really screwed up and lost. And I had a client who had a putter, and I put together a press release about that, and we were faxing once an hour to the media people saying, do you see what's going on? We know why this is going on. We'll tell you why it's going on. Notice I did not promote the putter in the press release. I was going to promote the putter, or actually the guy who owned the putter was going to promote it during the interviews, but the press release was about, I see what's going wrong here. I know what's going wrong. I know why this guy is behind. So that was once an hour. But I'll tell you, that's very unusual. If there was something going on, again, let's talk about Congress again. Let's say there was a long debate, hours and hours, and the vote was going back and forth and back and forth. Could you be faxing the media people once an hour saying, these are the repercussions? Or, let's make this very timely, the election coming up. Could you be faxing or emailing or not emailing directly, I mean online distribution. Could you be doing that frequently during the day? Sure you could, because things will be changing very quickly during that day. But for the vast majority of stories, once a week is a great schedule to be on. Once every other week is the very least I'd like to see you sending things out. Next, what's the best way to get coverage or interviews for a niche that's usually regarded as soft, such as stress relief or self-improvement? Soft has nothing to do with publicity. Soft has everything to do with professional speaking. I have a speaking kit, and I do a lot of speaking, and I train speakers, and there are soft topics and hard topics. A soft topic is something you can't measure. For example, I wouldn't say stress relief is necessarily soft, because you can measure that. Heart rate is down, blood pressure is down, a whole bunch of things can be measured, and you can see results. Motivation, that's tough to measure. That's a soft topic. But that has to do with speaking. If you want to be a speaker and you have a soft topic, you're in trouble. It's going to be tough to make a living as a speaker with a soft topic. But with publicity, there is no such thing as soft topic. It's, in fact, right now, stress relief is a hot topic because of everything going on in the economy. So don't get concerned about soft topics with publicity. And then the next question from this person, I'd really like to promote the business and results my clients get, not promote myself. Okay, both of those are wrong. You don't want to promote the business or the results that your clients get or yourself. You want to promote the information. What information are you giving to the reporter? And then what do you want the reporter to plug for you? Well, do you want the reporter to plug results? I don't think so. You want the reporter to promote a product or a service. So the results you may weave into an interview. If you were talking about weightlifting and you were on the air on a radio talk show, and the talk show host was asking you questions about different types of weights and different types of things you can buy and protein drinks and this and that. In that interview, you could weave in your client's results. That would just be fine. But ultimately, don't you want to promote your weightlifting equipment? That's why you would be doing the interview, to sell weightlifting equipment. Okay, next question. Many small local papers do not have a big reporter or writer staff. With that in mind, is it better to write the entire story for them instead of using my proven press release format, which has proven to be incredibly effective in my business for larger papers, radio stations, and TVs? Well, thank you for the compliment on my press release format and my publicity system. The system that I teach people works for tiny little newspapers, tiny little radio stations, all the way up. But it is always helpful to have a few articles ready so that if you do have that little local newspaper, I live in a tiny little farm community in New Jersey. Some of these newspapers in the area do have reporters and they do a nice job. But a few of them, the kind generally that I find on my lawn or in my driveway on Thursday mornings, they don't have professional reporters or staffs or anything else. So if you're called to do an interview and you have something ready, they would be thrilled. Now, there's no guarantee they're going to print it, but they would be thrilled that if you put together an article, they may rewrite your article, they may customize it for their audience, but having an article ready shows that you're on their side, that you know how to play the game, you know what you're doing. So by all means, have maybe two or three articles written on your topic. How long should they be? 500 to 750 words is good. If you are not comfortable writing the articles yourself, just hire somebody. You can have people write articles for you for $10 or $20 at the most, and they'll just ask you questions and they'll write the article. I've hired lots of people to do writing for me. They will write reports. It will be my information, and this is what's critical. It's got to be your information. What you can't do, what I don't think is ethical, is to hire somebody to write something for you and then say, for example, go do research on weight loss, and I want you to write an article about weight loss and then put my name on it if you don't know anything about weight loss. That's very, very dubious. But if you know about weight loss, you just aren't good at writing articles or you don't want to write the article, hire somebody to do it. They interview you. They write the article. It's a winner all around. And again, these people are very inexpensive. Next, I'm an insurance agent and had run a press release in the local paper for a recent membership I joined in NASC. How do I write a press release with a great headline and how should it be sent? Email, fax, or mail? Okay, that's one of those global questions that's going to be tough to answer. I can't go into detail about how to write the press release. We just don't have the time, but I want to answer as many questions as possible. But the reason I put this in the queue to answer is that I want to stress, nobody cares that you joined NASE. Nobody. For those of you who are on the coaching call with me for the first time, I will make it clear if you haven't picked this up already, I am the king of tough love publicity. I am going to tell you the truth the way it is, whether you like it or not. The truth is the truth. Too many people have been coddled, and they are being led down the wrong road. Nobody cares that you joined NASE. Maybe your mom cares, but that's about it. What does that mean to the reporter? What does that mean to the audience? They don't care that you joined NASE. How does that benefit your community? That's the news story right there. Now, will you get something in your local newspaper about joining this organization? Sure, because you're a resident. They're almost obligated to do that. Will you get any business from it? I can't imagine that you would, because first of all, hardly anybody knows what NASE is, and frankly, I don't know what NASE is. I'm just reading it from your question here. But what do I care? That's like the articles that you see in the newspaper all the time that say Deborah Johnson became a member of the Million Dollar Roundtable. Number one, what is the Million Dollar Roundtable? I don't know. Number two, why do I care that she joined the Million Dollar Roundtable? Or Brookview Dental Group announces the opening of their second office. Who cares? How does that benefit me, the person reading the newspaper? So that's the way that you've got to reorient your press release. That's the topic of your press release, not that you joined that organization. All right, if there's one tweak, the next question, if there's one tweak to turn a lousy press release into a great press release, what is it? If I were only able to change one thing or focus on one thing, it's the headline. I can't stress how important the headline is to your press release. The headline is everything. The job of the headline in a press release is to force the reporter, and I mean that literally, to force the reporter to keep reading, to give the reporter no other option but to read the rest of your story. Now, some of you may be uncomfortable about that. Some of you may be saying, well, I don't really write that well. I don't write compelling copy that well. I'm not a good copywriter. I'm not comfortable doing that. Once again, as I said earlier, you're going to be following templates. There are things called formula headlines. For you folks who have my full publicity kit, you know that in the master manual, I give you 289 of these formula headlines. For you folks who are not familiar with what a formula headline is, it's a headline that has already been tested and tried, and the media people like it. It works. It's a good headline. For example, 19 ways to eliminate migraine pain almost instantly. That's a formula headline. I can now turn that into almost any kind of headline I want by taking out two things. I said 19 ways to eliminate migraine pain almost instantly. So I take out 19 and I replace it with another number, and I take out migraine pain and I replace it with my topic. So 19 ways to eliminate migraine pain almost instantly. Let's make that a tax headline. 7 ways to eliminate IRS audits almost instantly. Let's make it an auto repair headline. 14 ways to eliminate poor gas mileage almost instantly. Let's make it a landscaping and gardening headline. 9 ways to eliminate pesky molds almost instantly. That's a formula headline. So if you have my kit, right in the manual, just look in the master manual there. There are 289 of these, and all you do is you take out the words that are underlined and you fill in your words. Headline is done. That is the best thing that you have going for you in your press release. That's where you're going to be spending your time. I also have software that I've mentioned to you folks before. If you go to Instant Headline Generator, let me go online to be sure I'm giving you the right web address. InstantHeadlineGenerator.com. Yep, that's it. InstantHeadlineGenerator.com. That's my software where all you do is you type in your topic. So if you're in pest control, you just type in pest control into the software and you click generate headlines and you get over 150 headlines done for you right there. But that's it. That's what I would focus on. Next question, is there one mindset to writing a press release that will get us the most media coverage or benefits? Yes, there is, and that's the one that I have been mentioning all through the call. The mindset is, how can I make the reporter look good to his or her audience? What information do I have that will make the reporter look good and will make me look good as someone who knows a lot about this topic? That's the mindset. How can I benefit the end user, the people listening to this radio talk show, the people reading the newspaper or magazine, the people watching TV? That's what you should be doing. What is the defining key between the kind of press release you create and the ones others do? What do you do most often that makes the press release you create so good? When I write a press release, I spend so much time. Now, when I say so much time, I mean percentage. It usually takes me 10 minutes to write a press release. I mean, at the outside, 15 minutes. I probably spend 70% on the headline. I use my own software, by the way, that Instant Headline Generator. I use that software. I use my own formula headlines, the 289 headlines I was talking about. But I make sure I pick one that really ties into my story. When I am writing a press release, I envision, in my mind, I have a picture of me holding the reporter by the hand and walking down the path, a real physical path, but it's the path that I want to walk down. It's not the path the reporter wants to walk down. So in my press release, I weave a story. I never, ever promote any of my products. I never give out ordering information, price, toll-free number, nothing like that. I will weave a story for the reporter so that by the time he gets to the end of my press release, he has no choice. He's got to call me up because he wants to know, well, how does the story continue? How does the story end? The headline forced him to keep reading. The first paragraph forced him to read the second paragraph, and on and on. I didn't jerk him around. I didn't dangle a carrot in front of him and then not really give him anything solid to go on. That's a mistake. But I just weave such a fascinating story that he's entertained. He's intrigued. He wants to know more about my story, so he calls me up. That is the enormous difference between the press releases that I teach and that I write and what I see so many other people doing. If I put 300 press releases out on the floor, I'll bet you could pick out my press release probably every single time because it's so different. And there again, it is so different from what the reporters are being barraged with day in and day out. Talk about my product. Talk about my meeting. Talk about my conference. That's what they get day in and day out. Starting from scratch, where do we start and how do we do it? Again, that's too big a question. We only have 10 minutes left, so I want to get to some more of these questions. That's one of those. How do I fly a plane? You have 10 minutes to tell me. My question for today's call, I'm contracted out to write a press release with unique story angles for an IT. Assume that means information technology, but I'm just not sure. So there's a mistake right there. using lingo, using language that you understand. You cannot assume that anyone, like the question before, whatever that organization was, NASE, whatever, I have no idea what that is. So don't use initials, don't use abbreviations, excuse me, don't use your own little language, spell it out. I assume it's information technology. I'm contracted out to write press releases with unique story angles for an information technology and finance staffing and for an employment agency, and I'm stuck. What angles do you suggest that I take on this? I bought your niche manual for nonprofits, and so far I've jotted down writing about a secret in the industry that most people don't know. Great. What do you know about the employment industry, about employment right now, when people are getting laid off, when people are being furloughed, when people on a Friday being told not to come in on Monday? What do you know about what's going to happen next to these people? What happens on Monday, for example? They walked in on Friday, and at 5 o'clock they were told to pack up their things and not come back on Monday. What happened over the weekend to those people? That's a great story. What happens to people when they're fired on a Friday, when they have the weekend to think about it? Great topic. What should they do? What's the first thing they should do on Monday morning? Good topic. Do press releases on interviewing skills. Now, to you, that may sound very typical. Who's going to want to know about this? Right now, probably 40 million people are going to want to know about this. And you may say, but that's been written up so many times in the media. Right, but not right now. People are looking for those stories right now. So focus on what's going on right now and what you know that can be a solution to the problems going, especially for the people who are involved in the problem, and send out press releases on that. Okay, I'm going to have to move real quickly because we still have a lot of questions. Let me bang out as many as I can. Oh, this is from Dan. One of my favorite publicity students. And by the way, for you folks who have my publicity kit or subscribe to my paid newsletter, I just got an email from Dan. I'm going to be interviewing Dan Page, not in November because that's already been scheduled. I am probably going to interview Dan in December. I guarantee you, it's going to be one of the most fascinating interviews you've heard, and it's going to be a lot of solid information. So don't miss the December interview. So, Dan, question number one, for some reason I seem to do well getting published in weekly papers. Perhaps it's the sheer number of them, but I haven't been able to crack the code to get as many articles published in the large dailies and magazines. Do I have any suggestions? Curious, because that's the opposite of an earlier question where not as many in the local newspapers, but doing fine in the bigger newspapers. With the bigger newspapers, you've got to focus your attention on the topic. The smaller newspapers, the little town gazettes and everything else, they will take broad topics, really sweeping topics. So you can write press releases on the unemployment situation for a local newspaper. And that's okay. But when you get to the bigger media, whether it's newspaper, radio, magazine, TV, whatever, they want focus. How the unemployment situation is affecting single dads. Great. Now you've really focused in. That's what they want to talk about. If you look at the magazines on the newsstand and you see the headlines, you never see how unemployment is affecting us all. It's always how unemployment is affecting teenagers looking for their first job. Focus it down. I'll bet that's your problem. And question number two from Dan. I think I answered this one. I'm all for the hands-off approach of faxing press releases, but Dan did call a magazine, one of the trade magazines, and he got an interview. I'm not saying that I would never call. What I am saying, I'm glad you gave me the opportunity to clarify this. What I don't want you doing is sending out 100 press releases and then over the next day or two or three making 100 phone calls following up on all these press releases. If you want to follow up on a very specific station, radio, TV station, whatever else, because there's great value in that for you, and Dan, I assume that this American Banker was of great importance to you, by all means, you can pitch them. And in fact, there is a whole philosophy of getting publicity doing exactly that, cold calling people and pitching your story to them. I don't like cold calling. For me, it doesn't work. But does that system work? You bet. So if you're comfortable cold calling, by all means, cold call. I just don't want you following up every phone call, every press release with a phone call. You'll irritate people, it's unnecessary, and you'll waste an enormous amount of time. Next question. I'm interested in the benefits of submitting press releases to online services, for example, PRWeb.com. First, is this PR channel even recommended? Now, by channel, I'm not sure what you mean. Do you mean using online services or using PRWeb specifically? Let me interpret it. I'll say you're asking about PRWeb specifically. PRWeb is one of the most well-known, reputable distribution services out there. They're pricey, but you get a lot for the money. I am financially very, very, very comfortable, and I didn't get that way by taking the cheap way out, by looking for everything free. I test free if I can. I do little tiny tests, but then I go for the best service, the best results. So if I have a press release that I want to get out, I may test it on a free service. Good. I got a response. Press release is working. I'll then go to a low-end paid service. By low-end, I mean cost $20, $30, $40 or so. Good. I got better results. I'll go to a high-end service, a mid-range service, rather. Mid-range, $80 to $200, mid-range. Great. I got great results. Let's roll this baby out. What I'm doing is writing a press release and going right away to the $350 option on some of these websites. We didn't even test out your press release. And you can test out your press release very, very quickly. So I can test a free distribution site today, check my results tomorrow, later that day, the next day, use a low, an inexpensive paid service, wait a day or two, and within just a few days, I know that my press release is working and I'm rolling it out. Of course, if you've got an urgent story, you don't have the luxury of doing that. You've got to get it out. But the vast majority of stories, the vast majority of your stories are going to be the stories where you do have the luxury. You may want to promote your website, for example. You may want to promote a website that's going to be up there for quite a while. You have the luxury of time. Test out your press releases first. Okay, I would like to test this marketing funnel. This marketing funnel. I'm not sure what marketing funnel we're talking about. Services are getting increasingly... Oh, I see. Okay, this marketing channel. You want to test the marketing channel of using online distribution services. Sure. Are they still a good deal? Yeah. Again, if you're using the reputable services, PR Web, PR Newswire, those are probably the two most well-known paid services. They're also pricey. If you're using the top-of-the-line services, you're paying many hundreds of dollars for what you're getting, but you're getting a lot. You're getting great distribution. You're getting great tracking. You're getting statistics that you can just dissect all over the place. So, yeah, if you're using a reputable service, just because they're expensive doesn't mean that they're a good service. So don't look for a service that charges you $400 and say, wow, Paul said this is an expensive service, so it must be good. Make sure you do your due diligence on these. But I can tell you that PR Web and PR Newswire are two of the most well-known, most reputable services out there. They get great distribution, but test inexpensively. And do you have recommendations for less expensive services that are still effective? Yeah, if you are a paid subscriber to my newsletter, in the next newsletter, in the November issue of the newsletter, I'm going to be giving you a long list of free distribution services and paid distribution services. I'm also going to be talking about how to write an online press release for online distribution. I'm going to be going over the whole thing. So there are lots of services out there. Test cheap, then move up and move up. When I go on to discussion boards, I don't go on to a lot of discussion boards, frankly, because a lot of discussion boards annoy me. And the reason they annoy me is that they are just populated with people who are posting 5 and 10 times a day. Well, if you're posting 5 and 10 times a day to a discussion board, you're not running your business. And a lot of these people simply want to know, where can I get free blank? The best one I saw is, boy, I've got some legal problems here. Where can I get free legal advice? You want free legal advice? Not me. So they're always looking for the free software, the free bookkeeping services, the free consulting services and everything else. if I were to make a blanket statement, I have very little to no interest in free stuff because I understand very clearly that you get what you pay for. The maybe an exception or two, the free press release distribution services I use to test out my press releases. But beyond that, I'm a big fan of using my credit card. God gave me a credit card for a good reason, to wear it out, so I have to call the company and send me a new one. And I know I am very free with my money, spending my money, because if I do it wisely, if I do it carefully, I know the returns are enormous. And I've mentioned this so many times in my e-zine. For you folks who have been longtime subscribers, I spend many thousands, if not tens of thousands of dollars every year on other people's products and services, because I know that if I chose them wisely, I'm getting a tremendous return on my investment. I see it is now 6 p.m. We have more questions. I am so sorry that we're out of time. I respect your time. I told you it would be an hour. I have a lot of information on my website, Hartunian.com, H-A-R-T-U-N-I-A-N, Hartunian.com. There's lots of free information there. There's information about that report that I emailed you about on how to get your press release to number one on Google News, which so many people have had great success with. And I'm real thrilled. If you've had success with that, by the way, I'd love to hear your success story. That's what really juices me, getting success stories. And in fact, I see one. I got to answer this question because it's so pertinent, and that'll be the last question. in fact, it directly relates to what I just said. Over the last few weeks, you sent us a lot of emails about this report you have on how to get to number one on Google News. Why on earth would anyone want to get to number one on Google News? I love skeptics. I really love skeptics because invariably they see the light, and those are some of my biggest fans after that. The reason you want to get to number one on Google News is that, well, if you were just listening, you heard Mary call me and say dinner's ready, so this has to be the last question. You want to get to number one on Google News because from Google News, you can get picked up on the main Google website and get ranked very, very quickly, whereas without getting on number one on Google News, you may have waited weeks or months, if ever, getting onto the main Google website. You also get picked up by people who see your press release and the number one spot and say, wow, this must be a great story. They pick it up and put it in their blogs, their e-zines. They call you for more information or email you for more information. It's so inexpensive to do, and it's so quick. In fact, Dan had emailed me, and we're going to talk about that, Dan, in December. Dan emailed me that when I had the special coaching call for people who got that report on how to get to number one on Google News, Dan sent out a press release just the way I described during the coaching call. And by the end of the coaching call, and the coaching call, by the way, was only an hour long, by the end of the coaching call, his press release was number one on Google News. That's how powerful that is. So that's why you want to get it to number one on Google News, for the extra benefits that often come with that. All right, folks, that wraps it up. Thank you so much. I see the lines are just packed. We probably filled up 200 here. So for those folks who didn't get in, boy, I'm sure sorry. I would consider having another one of these in a few months, taking more questions. I hope that answered a lot of the questions, cleared up a lot of the information that you may have heard, got rid of some of the bad information that may have passed your way. So I thank you folks very much, and keep reading the e-zine and my blogs at paulspublicityblog.com. I'm off to dinner. Thank you folks. Have a great night.